This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month, that means we're going to talk about dogs. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dog care, behavior, and training. If you've got a question about a dog or dogs, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Good afternoon. Welcome back. Good to see you.
It's always good to see you, Celeste.
And you should see Carol. She's so cute today. She has on a
She's covered
fleece,
with fleas.
Fleece shirt with goldens.
My favorite. I want to be buried in this, so I don't wear it all the time, but pretty close.
The print of the golden has it's wearing a little red kerchief.
And they're upside down, so I can see them. I think that's why these are 50% off. And they went to 75% off.
But yeah, somebody wasn't paying attention.
My friend Lisa and I have matching ones, so if we wear them at the same time, we do get a few looks.
And welcome back to Jim.
What were you looking at your
microphone
for? Well,
I think the accountants have been here.
Jim, it looks very smart, too, because he's got a doggy tie on.
We've got a dog and cats in court
tie. And cats in court tie.
Yeah. Okay. The cats are, we have a cat, but mostly dogs. But the microphones all have state property of state of Illinois on them, except my microphone. So I guess I can take this.
You mean after almost, how many, 10, 12 years, you're just starting to notice these things?
No, it never had that sticker before.
Is that a new sticker?
I've just noticed that we've got some listeners.
Oh. Good.
So let's take some calls. That's what we're here to do. Listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
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 I don't know whether you answer veterinary questions or not.
Yes, we say go see a veterinarian.
Okay. Well, I've got this problem with my dog. I would like to get your diagnosis of, if you could. He is walking around on three legs and has trouble putting his fourth leg down, although he does do it occasionally, just for balance. And I've looked at that foot, and I can't find anything that looks like a thorn or any kind of cut or anything there, so I am somewhat mystified as to why he's
doing. How old is he?
He's about 6 years old.
It wouldn't have to be the paw by a long shot.
Yeah.
It could be a muscle sprain. It could be a myriad of things.
Now, if it were a muscle sprain, why would he be lifting it? That's
because it hurts.
Okay.
Just like when we sprain our ankle.
From putting pressure on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess it depends on where the sprain is, because the active lifting it could also make it hurt. So,
Where does he live?
I mean, what kind of?
No, inside, outside.
Oh, inside, but spends quite a reasonable amount of time outside.
Well, we didn't ask which leg it was.
Oh, it was the right hind leg.
Ah, yeah. I would get him in there pretty darn quick.
Okay.
Yeah, there are many things it could be, many of which are not good.
Okay.
And things that we've had like bone cancer, blasto, which is a fungus, but that's more in the front. We've had that more limping in the front.
He could even. What kind of dog is it?
It's a Jack Russell.
Oh, a little bitty guy. Oh, yeah.
Not little bitty, not as small as a...
Yeah, they're so active.
And yeah, we were going to say dysplasia could cause that.
Uh-huh. Even early arthritic changes?
Yeah, with a JRT, even if they're dysplastic, he probably wouldn't be limping.
No.
But, yeah, you definitely should get him in and have him looked at. In all likelihood, with an active dog like that, he probably pulled a muscle.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
We just got a puppy about 6 months ago, and this is our first dog ever, and we feel like we're up over just kind of a we're struggling with some issues. Most of which is that he likes, we put him in a crate at night, and for the last week or so, around 3 o'clock, he's dying to get out and go outside and then, you know, do his duty. And then he'll come back and go back into the cage. But this middle of the night stuff is killing us.
Now, what time do you go to bed?
Pardon me?
What time do you go to bed?
10:30, 11 o'clock.
And I assume you let him out just before you retire for the evening and make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yes.
When do you feed him?
First thing in the morning, like, you know.
You know, I guess we should ask the delicate question, what duty does he do?
Usually urinates, for sure always urinates, sometimes has a movement.
And what kind of dog is he?
He's a black lab dachshund mix.
Oh, how cute that must be.
And you got him 6 months ago. How old is he now?
He's probably about 6 months. We got him when he was 12 weeks, I think.
This may be another veterinary problem. If you have a dog that's been very consistent over time and then suddenly starts having to get up in the middle of the night and pee, he might have a urinary tract infection or a kidney stone or a kidney infection or something like that. That's causing him to have to go out.
Can you tell, is the urine, well, since in the middle of the night you couldn't tell, if it was real dilute, if it's real clear, or is it dark yellow? That would tell you, too, how clear the urine is.
Okay. I think it's yellow.
That's the most likely cause of this.
Okay.
We assumed when you called that you were, exercising him just before you went to bed and all that. We just asked that because.
Yeah.
But if he's having to get up in the middle of the night to urinate, the first thing I would check is for infections.
And since you haven't had a dog before, try and determine how much water he consumes. Not to eliminate his water intake, but get an idea. Is he drinking a quart of water, 2 quarts of water, 3 quarts of water a day? So the vet will want to know something like that. So if he, before you go to bed at night, he drinks a quart of water, you would do the same thing, get up in the middle of the night. But
Has he been drinking more water lately, or have you noticed?
Hard to tell.
Yeah, if when they get these infections, they tend to drink more and then urinate more.
Okay. Could it also be he's just starved for affection and he enjoys our company?
Well, that could be, but to say starved for affection, that's kind of putting a human term on it.
Yeah.
Since he lives in your house and you're taking good care of him, I doubt if he's starved for affection. But dogs, are wolves, and wolves, of course, are nocturnal animals. And we're kind of reprogramming over the centuries. We've been reprogramming dogs to be active during the day. But really, it's not unusual for dogs to get up in the middle of the night, walk around, check everything, and then go back to sleep. But the reason I think it's a veterinary problem is this has happened recently. And there's just nothing has happened. You know, you have a dog that's house trained and everything's going along, and then suddenly he changes his behavior with you not changing your behavior. It looks like a medical problem and not a behavior problem.
Yeah, it would be more typical of him when he was a young puppy to want to eliminate during the night than this.
And once they have these infections, it's very difficult for them to control everything. That's why, you know, and in his favor, he has to go, and he probably has to go pretty bad, but he's still not going in the house, apparently. At least he's waking you up to get outside. So that indicates he's trained, and he's doing what he's been trained to do, and that's, you know, get you and open the door. If you could train him to open the door, you'd be golden, but that's hard.
Oh, and you know what? When you call your vet, they're going to want you to bring in a urine specimen. So, it's not as hard as you think.
Yes, it is.
Well, it is. Well, it's challenging, but
take
be forewarned.
Take a paper cup and, you know, duct tape it to the end of a broom. And
oh, no,
oh,
Jim.
Oh, man, you got to walk around with them, and as soon as they
use
start
a
to
pie
pee.
Plate. A pie plate works.
Yeah, but then you have to stand right over them.
Well, that's true. Well, anyway, so be
you'll learn how to do it. It's a lot of fun.
They can tell you.
Okay. Right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. Sounds like a cute dog. Sounds like it's well-trained. Just
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Probably just has a
little bug of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
A UTI.
Yeah, and dogs get them. I mean, people get them. Dogs get them. Cats get them. Yeah, yep. So.
Birds do it.
But, you know, cats can use their litter pan, and people get up and go to the bathroom, but dogs have to rely on us to let them out, so.
Well, I had a cat, Frisbee, who we had for 15 years, and he was prone to those, so we got him on a special diet eventually.
Male cats
too.
Are, I think.
And it was clear he had a problem. I mean, he was uncomfortable in the litter box, and then it was like, call the vet promptly.
Mm-hmm.
An episode of Waiting for God.
Okay, elaborate.
Okay. On
Celeste and I are both wearing mystified expressions.
At 10 o'clock, one of the main characters had a urinary problem a couple weeks ago.
A human?
Yes, a human. They don't have
Carol
dogs.
And I missed that program.
Missed that one,
you
but
probably
I did
go
catch,
to bed too early.
I did catch David on Sia's for Crockpot.
Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
That was fun.
And you know what else?
What?
Oh, I happen to have the ingredients for smothered pork chops. So while I was watching the show, I made smothered pork chops and had them ready to go the next day.
How's that? That's
How's
great.
That? Yeah. He does very well on television. David does.
Yeah. Doyle did a nice job, too.
Yes, indeed.
And all the people who came in, they did a great job.
They did
the
terrific
people.
Job.
Yeah. And then there were lots of folks in the background. There was a volunteer who did dishes all night long. Bless her heart.
I'd say so.
Okay, let's take another call. A listener on line 4, the toll-free line from Marseilles, I believe. Hi.
Hi, this is Casey's mother. Do you remember Casey?
Well, yes, we do.
We were just talking about him the other day.
Oh, of course.
We haven't heard from you for a long time.
No,
how are things?
Casey is going to be 13 in February.
So how old was he when you first called us?
Oh, he was 8 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how long we've been on the radio?
I guess.
And we're still not getting paid. Is that horrible?
And I'm not a day older. This is fabulous.
Yeah, he might have been a little older, really, but I really enjoy listening to you. I go down to Illinois to the vet frequently, and we go to the dentist. And Casey, I thought you'd be interested to know, and your listeners too, he has teeth that are resorbing back into his head.
Oh.
And I guess it's usually found in cats and not usually in dogs. Of course, I would be the lucky one to get one that does that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and he just had 4 teeth extracted this last time. And I guess what happens, the brain is rejecting the teeth, and it tries to get rid of them. So it's the roots actually do absorb into the jaw or reabsorb into the jaw, but then they pull just the crown of the tooth, because if that tries to resorb, then they do have a lot of pain with it. So I'm frequently down to Illinois at not lots of money, but he's worth it.
Well, what were the symptoms of this? I've not heard of this.
You know, actually, my other Lhasa, I took him down there when he was older, and several teeth had been pulled in and were infected, and I just have always felt that my dogs from the future on would go to a doggy dentist instead of just around here, because they have all the equipment to x-ray and do this kind of thing. And he had actually fractured a tooth, and they wanted to pull it, and I took this one down there, and Dr. Manfra cemented the tooth, and she always x-rays it when we come back, and they discovered the problem then.
Isn't she the best?
Isn't she wonderful?
Yes, she is.
She is
the best.
Yeah, I just love the small animal vet clinic. I would recommend it to anyone. I have a real good friend that's a University of Illinois graduate that goes down with me, and her name is Dorothy, and she just is lovely to help me out with Casey. But I thought you'd like to know that. And then I had another comment and just another question. When I go to the vet, which is frequently, I find a lot of people the last 3 times have been in there with cats that they let them out at night, and they dearly love their cat. I can tell they're sitting there really mourning the fact that the cat got out at night and either got bitten or one had the tail, you know, bit or something. I don't understand the mentality of that. You know, my dog is always on lead, and I don't mean to criticize them, but do cats usually, when they go out, I mean, what are the percentages of them coming back with the, you know, getting bit by a coon or a...
Percentage is pretty high that something is going to happen to them that's not pleasant.
Yeah,
you know, they also get in fights with other cats, too.
Right, and you know, this one lady, I felt so sorry for her because it was going to be about $200 or $300 for her to get the drains and the overnight, you know, whatever. And I just thought, man, that's really too bad that they don't keep those cats indoors, but I guess it's kind of hard to do that, too.
Well, you know, Celeste is, she's going to weigh in on this because she's a cat owner and lover.
It's not hard at all. And they are perfectly happy and healthy.
To stay indoors all the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is cat number three, and I've never let any of them out.
Okay. Well, I just wish more would do it because I just feel badly for them. And, I don't want cats in my yard. They get the birds and everything else. But and I'm not a cat lover, but I sympathize with the people who love their animals and love their pets, and then they still... I mean, if Casey was out all night and came back in the morning, I'd be a nervous wreck.
He wouldn't be 13 years old seeing Dr. Manfra.
And I'd be a lot poorer, too. But then I wanted to ask you, too, since Casey is 13, I know that someday I'm going to have to give him up. And I've had two Lhasas, and there's so much about the Lhasa that I like. I don't like a dog to be following me around in my lap all the time, just, you know, licking me up and loving me up. But I'd like something that isn't as aloof. And... And something that doesn't shed, and I don't like poodles. What about that Cavalier, that St. Charles?
Oh, they're wonderful. They are wonderful dogs.
Are there two breeds of them? Is there one that's a King Charles Spaniel and then one that's a Cavalier?
There's the Cavalier, and then that's a King Charles.
It's a King Charles Cavalier.
Yeah, okay. But I know what you're talking about now.
There's Tibetan Terriers. I have to admit, I can't tell the difference between these dogs.
The Cavalier is an extremely nice dog.
Okay, it would be the Cavalier. And do they shed a lot, do you know?
My neighbors have one. They've never commented on the shedding.
Okay.
She's just a delightful, friendly dog. And a lot of people have Goldens have Cavaliers because their personalities are supposedly somewhat similar. The one thing about the Cavalier that you might not like, but it wouldn't bother me, is their feet are very shaggy. And when you show a Cavalier, their feet aren't trimmed.
Uh-huh.
So they have mop-like feet.
Uh-huh.
But that's, you know, unless you're going to show the dog, that wouldn't be a consideration. You could have but they've got a nice coat. They are lap dogs, however.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're, you know, they get down, I mean, they don't just, you know, do it all the time. If you didn't want them to sit in your lap all the time, they'd go off in the corner.
I'd have to ask my neighbor, but I know that's one feature about her dog that she really enjoys. Is in the evening when the kids are in bed, then she's got her dog on her lap watching television.
And Lhasas aren't like that. In fact, he's in the other room when we're in the den, and then he comes in for his attention like a cat would, and you know, and that's fine. And I love the Lhasa. He still bites people, but that's Casey. You know?
What does he bite him with?
He bites him with a few teeth that haven't been resorbed by his brain.
The ones that have, I like that he doesn't, he's not a real barky dog.
Mm-hmm.
Our Cavalier's real barky. I don't like that part either.
I think you need to change your list around and put the things you like before the things you don't like, and you might have an easier way of determining what you want next. And sometimes aloofness, I know that may be a characteristic of the breed, but within any breed, you're going to find somebody that defies those odds. And
you could also consider a French bulldog.
Oh, I think someone did tell me that one time.
They're nice dogs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's nice to talk to you people again. And
keep us updated on Casey. We like hearing about him.
Yeah, he is really a sweetheart. And in Illinois, the gals, I always have to tell people because he will, you know, narrow the eyes if you talk cutesy to him and all that kind of stuff. And if you get down on your haunches, he sizes you up and gets real nice to you. And then all of a sudden he narrows those eyes, just like McConnell says in her book, The Other End of the Leash. You know?
Uh-huh.
And then he just goes a low growl. And if you walk away, you're safe. But if you don't walk away, he just growls up the leg.
You're just toast then, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't bite you. I mean, he'll draw blood. But
he doesn't bite?
But you'll survive the attack, I think is what she's trying to say.
Yeah, luckily he doesn't have, you know, he lets go right away. But I can't. So then everywhere I go, I have to tell people, like the little senior vets down at Illinois, I had him scared to death. Yeah. And then she said, when I went back to get him, she said, Kathy, he just followed us all around. We just let him follow us afterward to make sure he was awake because we're 2.5 hours from Champaign. And he says, we just let him follow us, and he's just happy with everybody. So you never know. Yeah, next person he might turn around and bite him.
I didn't think I'd want to know he was coming, you know?
Yeah.
Watch those eyes.
Yeah, watch those eyes.
Well, you have a nice holiday, Kathy.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for talking with us this afternoon. Next, we take a call from a listener on a cell phone in Champaign. Line one, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that there is a much-beloved veterinarian in Champaign, Urbana, who is now retired, who used to counsel, frankly, that your cat will not live as long, but will be much happier if it does get to go outside. So I just want to add that into the mix, that this was his unreconstituted opinion about that.
Okay. So, well, we have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, though. This is the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking this afternoon with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to join us with a telephone call, with a question, a comment, do so. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL. 800-222-WILL. Well, the fellow that I adopted from the shelter was declawed, so there's no way.
Oh, no, he's defenseless. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
So what do you say we take another call? We take a call now in line four, El Paso, Illinois. Hi.
Hi. We have a four-year-old, a female Bichon. We had one before. It was very calm. This one's a little more flighty. We chose her out of the litter because she noticed her environment. Our problem with her is that she has a car seat that we fasten her into, and she does fine if we're on a freeway or such where we're moving along. We enter a town, and she gets this really high-pitched whine. It's so high that my husband cannot hear it. He has some hearing loss, but it just drives me right up of a tree. So I'm wondering if there is something that we can do to train this high-pitched whine out of her. I don't mind a little whine, but this high pitch just gets me. Or if there's nothing that we can do, if we took her to a trainer or got a trainer or something involved with us in the car, help.
How old is she?
Four years.
And when you say she has a car seat, what do you mean?
Oh, it's a little car seat that boosts her up where she can see out the window. And
there's your problem.
We put a harness on her, and it fastens her into the seat so that she's not roaming around the car.
My theory is that when you're moving fast, the dog really can't focus on anything. Everything's moving by too fast.
Mm-hmm.
When you slow down, then there are some interesting things to look at.
Right.
And she can now see that, you know, the dogs don't perceive the way we do. They have stereoscopic sight, but they can see how many degrees. We see 180, you know, from mm-hmm. side to side. They see about 240. So they don't really focus the way we do. And, of course, they see in different colors. And they tend to notice movement more. So I think as you're moving and things are sailing by, she's kind of overwhelmed by that.
Mm-hmm.
But as you slow down, then she starts to actually see stuff and perhaps wants to get out and play or, you know, attack it or whatever. My thoughts are these. One, cover up the window so she can't see out. And if she can't see out, then she's not going to want to stop and play. And two, failing at that, give her a chewy or a toy and let her play with it.
I have a different thought.
Okay.
This was running through my head when I was listening. I would get a Sherpa bag because she's small enough to fit in that. It's a carry-all for dogs. and put it on the seat.
Yeah, she's a little less than 10 pounds.
Yeah, and I just put that on the seat and seat belt her in, and she won't be able to see out the window.
Okay.
Okay,
or
so...
even if we use the kind of a harness that fastens her down into the seat where she cannot see.
That'd be fine. It's the stimulus that's provoking the whine. So you wouldn't want to do anything aversive because what she's doing comes very naturally to her. Mm-hmm. She's not barking. She's whining. But removing the stimulus would eliminate, I'm hoping, the source of the annoyance to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to divorce yourself from the thought that she's like a little creature that enjoys sitting in a seat and looking out the window.
Well, that was mainly to control her because she was roaming around.
No, I'm not saying that.
It's still a good idea.
You're still controlling her, but now she doesn't see anything. And then, you know, your husband's blissfully unaware of all this.
Yeah.
It's driving you nuts.
It's kind of the opposite. Usually we make high-pitched noises that the dogs can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of – the other thing you could try is just a regular – airline crate, a plastic crate.
Uh-huh. We have one of those.
And you secure that as well because it serves as a seat belt for the dog.
Uh-huh.
So she could see forward and see you and your husband as you drive, but maybe block off the sides so that she can't see what's going on either side and what's going on outside.
You know, it's rather interesting what you mentioned about what they can focus on, because one thing that she does a lot is that she will twist around in her seat so that she looks out the back, which kind of stops this thing of whizzing by.
Exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. She can see things a little better.
You often see dogs looking out the back window.
Yeah,
it's easier for them.
And they don't – we understand what's happening. We're in a car and things are going by.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to the dog. They get into the room. They get into this little room and you sit there and suddenly the world starts moving.
Yeah.
And then the world stops moving. So their understanding of what's going on, you have to realize, isn't yours. And – so she's seeing, literally seeing things differently, but also perceiving things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the solution to that is to stop her, get her focused. The other thing about a crate is you can give her chewy toys inside the crate.
Mm-hmm. We have given her – she has several chewy toys in her car seat, which she doesn't seem to be interested in.
Stuff outside is much more interesting.
Yeah.
So that's why I say if you can get her so she can't see anything, then give her these chewies, then she can focus on those. We're only guessing here, though. You're right. It's the kind of behavior you really have to see because it is somewhat unusual.
Okay.
And see when – and you might want to just keep an eye on when exactly is she whining. Is it just when you slow down or is it when she sees another dog
or what? No, it's when we slow down. And we've kind of – it's not another dog. It's not other – it's just when we enter a town. And so it's got to be when we slow down.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate the advice.
You're welcome. I put my mic back on. You're welcome.
No, that's not your mic. It's the University of the State
correct.
Of Illinois.
That's correct.
Mic.
That's correct. Let's take another call. Listener in Eureka, line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a 9-year-old miniature dachshund. He's neutered. I've had him 7 years. I adopted him when he was 2 years old. I've had dachshunds all my life, but he has, like, pet separation anxiety, and he's had it since I got him. And I'm just wondering, you know, I've obviously kind of dealt with this on and off for the past 7 years, but I'm wondering if there's anything I can do for this besides drugging him.
Did you say pet separation anxiety?
Oh, yeah. When I leave, even if there are friends or my, you know, in my house, I mean, he will go and nuts, just start barking at the door and pacing around and standing by the door and barking and just waiting for me to come back. Now, I don't make a big deal about it when I come back, you know, or anything like that, but I just don't know if there's anything I can do about this.
Well, I'm a big believer in chemical warfare, and
okay.
Carol isn't.
I would do it.
No, in terms of fleas, I mean, I take every fatal chemical that you can take and run it all through the house. But in this particular case, there's a book called Home Alone, and I forgot the guy's name who wrote that.
All right.
It'll come to us.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. He's Danish, I think. He gave a seminar here a couple years ago. I've got the book. I can't.
John Rogerson.
No, not
Abrantes.
Abrantes. And he has a program for behaviorally modifying this the separation anxiety. And I think it's fine. I don't know if it works or not because I've never had the problem. But there are tranquilizers now for dogs with exactly this problem. And when
let's call them antidepressants.
Antidepressants. In the old days, we think of drugging the dog, like giving it ACE or some sort of narcotic, and knocking him out. These are not like that. These
like Clomacom?
Pardon?
Clomacom. Like yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but they also come with when the vet gives you these tranquilizers or mood
antidepressants.
mood
stabilizers.
Mood stabilizers. We call dog cookies, we call them mood elevators. Right. But you also get a pamphlet or a CD or something programmed to also behaviorally modify the dog as well. So it's kind of a combination of mood alterers, or forgot, and behavior modifications.
Stabilizers.
Yeah. But
I did give him Clomacom for a period of time when I first got him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's a real bubbly, energetic dog, which I like, chases a ball, runs around. And he will sit on my lap and everything. But when I gave that to him, he was like a zombie dog.
Yeah, but that was 7 years ago. And in canine medicine, the advancements made in drugs is phenomenal.
All right.
In 7 years' time. And he shouldn't have become like a zombie, and the dosage was probably
way too high.
It shouldn't have that effect on him. And there are a myriad other drugs now on the market.
Yeah, right. The drugs are working out so well that that's why we give this advice. Maybe 10 years ago, we would have said, walk out the door, walk back in, and all these other things.
Which I have been doing because I have read about it. I mean, I'll go out the door, walk back in. I don't make a big fuss over him when I come home. I don't make a big fuss when I go out. I put him in his kennel because I don't tear stuff off. He's throwing up carpet.
And what? In 7 years, the dog hasn't gotten any better. It sounds like you've just done everything we might suggest you do.
And I even got him a bark collar.
And that makes it worse.
Yeah,
it cuts down on the barking, which was a positive thing because I travel for work and I take him with me.
Oh, great.
He goes with me all over the place. But, when I'm at my house, I don't care if he barks. But when I'm traveling, I got to watch that.
Yeah.
It cuts down the barking, but it doesn't cut down the anxiety.
Well, I'd talk to a vet and see what's available.
And you know what, Jim? I'm sitting here thinking of resources in the area. The ASPCA in Urbana has behaviorists, and you might find that to be helpful to contact them. Don't have the number, but you can look it up. ASPCA Urbana, and see if they've got some recommendations for you. And also work with your veterinarian. And if your local veterinarian doesn't have access to the latest drug information, you might want to talk to the University of Illinois Small Animal Hospital.
Okay. In fact, fortunately, I'm taking to an vet tomorrow. It's time for a shot, and so this is a good time.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next, we talk with a listener in Charleston. Line 2. Hi.
Hi. I want to make sure that I'm not inadvertently reinforcing the wrong behavior with the new puppy. We got him a month ago, and we've never had a dog before. He's a Welsh Corgi. And when we take him outside and spend time with him outside, after a while he wants to nip at our heels and pant legs. So I bring an old sock or a rope with a knot in it and dangle that in front of him to get him to chew on that instead of our pant legs. But my youngest child is too afraid to walk him because he will bite at his legs. So am I doing the wrong thing here?
It's the right thing in the sense you're trying to redirect him. But corgis will nip, and that's how they make a living. In herding, especially cows, they just run around the cows and
nip their heels.
Nip their heels.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they will do it all their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is get rid of or extinguish or reduce that behavior, not necessarily redirect it. Because, you know, once you don't have the toy, he's going to come back to you.
How old is your son, by the way?
8.
Yeah. It hurts.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you stop him from nipping? Actually, it may sound a little harsh, but what I do, if a dog even sometimes in play, you know, dogs will kind of do, I yell at him. I say, no, a real sharp no, because the dog doesn't know, in the case of a corgi, that this is wrong.
He's doing the right thing.
This is the way he plays, and you have to have some sort of signal to the dog that, you know, this is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. The other thing you can do is when you're out playing with him, as soon as he starts to nip, in the house you go. You know, all play is over.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he sleep?
He sleeps in the mudroom.
Okay, good.
He has a crate. We don't lock him up in there, but that's where the bedding is.
Well, we go through all the dominance things. I don't think this is dominance.
But you know what
fighting.
I would do first before we do that? I would just spray your son's pant legs with bitter apple spray.
Mm-hmm. The liquid fence.
Oh, liquid fence smells so gross.
Well.
No way. Oh,
You don't want these to be his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes.
No, this is bitter apple won't hurt his clothing, and it does not have an awfully offensive odor.
The problem is a lot of dogs like the taste.
Well, yeah. Let's let her try that first.
Yeah, total aversion kind of stuff where you don't have to do it.
Look at these scars and wounds I still have from when Robbie was a puppy on my arms. Their teeth are very – how old is he, the puppy?
Let's see. He was born in August, so 3 or 4 months.
Oh, okay. He's getting his adult teeth if he doesn't have them already.
Remember, if you were his mother, the dog's mother, for example, and the dog came up and bit you, you would bite him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ah – years ago, I've told this story on the air before, but we had...
Are you going to tell that story?
Which one?
That story.
What, the one with Bonnie and her puppy?
Go ahead.
Bonnie had a litter, and we put her food in her litter box, and the puppies were 4 or 5 weeks old, and they started smelling her food and said, hey, that smells pretty good. They went over to eat it. Bonnie took one puppy and just went, ah! And pushed him to the floor, and he just let out a scream, ah, wah, 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 wah. And that puppy never tried to eat her food again, and he never tried to eat, and no other puppy tried to eat her food. So that's how mom teaches the kids, you know, don't do it. And now the other part of this is she didn't hurt this puppy at all. You know,
he just never ate for the rest of his life.
No, he ate, but he didn't eat her food. She pushed him down. She held him down, but she didn't hurt him. And that's why I say if the dog is biting you, you go, ouch. I say ouch or no or no. Something to let the dog know that
ouch is good.
That's inappropriate.
Okay.
And then you stop all play. If he's nipping your son, you stop, you go in the house, and he goes to a neutral corner like a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of he's a corgi, but also he's a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And puppies, that's how they play. They bite each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see puppies playing, one puppy will bite another, and the puppy that's being bitten will just start screaming. Ah, wah, 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 and might turn around and bite it, depending on dominance issues. But they scream to let the other dog know that this hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to let the dog know without – I'm not suggesting you hit it or push it to the ground like mom did. But
or your son shouldn't run from the puppy. That makes it far worse.
Mm-hmm. But the dog starts to nip. You go, in order to mark in that dog's mind what he did wrong. And then bang in the house. All play is stopped. You take his toys away from him.
Jim,
yeah,
you're being so mean today.
Well, you don't do
take
it all
his
day.
Toys away
the
from
dog's
him.
Biting the kid. The kid's afraid of him.
You know what else I'd suggest too? I'd go, since this is your first ever dog and you got a corgi, I'd go to akc.org and look up Welsh corgis. And there's a wealth of information out there on each breed. And really understand the breed that you've got.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like...
Is it a Pembroke or a Cardigan?
Welsh.
Pembroke. Yeah.
They're both Welsh.
Oh, sorry. That's right. I'm sorry. But that's what, you know, I mean, you got a breed that's a really nice breed, but kind of a difficult breed for a first-time pet owner.
And I'd take them to a puppy training class.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some that are starting in January.
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Charleston.
Okay. I think you've got some training facilities down there.
Yeah.
He'll be fine one day, but getting through this until that one day can be difficult.
This is not because of you, by the way. This is inherent in the breed. It's a typical puppy problem, and various people have various ways of dealing with it.
And talking to corgi people would be a real good way to...
There's a book called Mother Knows Best, The Natural Way of Training...
Carol Benjamin. But it's kind of old now, don't you think? So.
Well, things that are true never really go old, don't you think?
Yeah.
But she talks about how mothers raise their puppies and how we can adapt to it. And so recommended reading would be that.
Okay, I've written it down. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
I guess I'm just looking for your blessing to say that I didn't do the wrong thing. I'm real good at the sharp no, I think. I've got a nice little barky sounding no. And my other dog has responded well to it, so is this one. But his name is Noah.
Oh.
The kids call him No-No. And I feel probably there's actually a lot of dogs that think their name is No, don't you?
No, Bad Dog.
That's actually a T-shirt
cartoon,
or something.
Yeah. My dog's name is No, Bad Dog.
Right. So is it okay that I left my dog's name to be Noah?
Yeah, just don't use No.
I wouldn't say. Well, one of the things I do in my training classes is I have a little comedy routine where I say No 20 different ways. We understand the word No to mean no, but dogs have just no concept of it. You might want to switch no to out.
Anything but no.
A lot of people go,
You're not going to give me your blessing and tell me it's okay.
No, it's fine. You can name your dog anything, but just can't use the word no, Noah. I mean, that just sounds pathetic.
Yeah, you might. Has the dog acted confused?
I don't know. He's a little bit shy and timid. He's generally a really happy, frisky dog. Mm-hmm. But I do notice that he shies away from big, boisterous behavior sometimes. The kids are, wanting to play.
Well, the point of saying no all those different ways is no has meaning to the human. It has no meaning to the dog. It's the way you say it.
Uh-huh. If I'm saying, oh, no, you're such a sweet little
exactly.
Mice,
right?
Sweet little
exactly.
Dog.
Yeah,
oh,
the
no,
dog
no.
isn't going, well, wait a minute, she's saying no, but before she said no, and it meant that the dog isn't doing that. He's listening to the tone of your voice.
Andy got my orthotic this morning out of my shoe, and I was running late, and that means, game's on. I wasn't in the mood for it this morning. She dropped it. All I had to do was look at her and say, drop it.
So it's...
Well, like I say, I think my no is pretty darn clear as a distinction.
Yeah, when you say no as a warning, it doesn't sound like no when you say, no. And
right.
Again, the dogs really don't make those distinctions. But if you see the dog getting confused, then say out or I say ah. Oops, time, sorry. So we're out of time. Thank you. See you next week.
Bye, Noah.
Say hi to Noah.
We have a little bit of time left here in this portion of the program. Anything on the canine calendar you want to talk about? Anything coming up at the club?
No. Classes start
in January.
The orientation is on the 10th. You can sign up online at our website, Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. I may not be here next month.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be dog sledding.
Oh, that's right.
But because
right.
of the way the holidays work out, we may be there during the week of New Year's rather
There's
than the Christmas
There's not going to be
week.
A suitable replacement for you. But I think I have to find one because I think that we auctioned the spot off.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Well.
So the recipient, I'll bring somebody with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be a dog park in Champaign. Urbana has one. Champaign's going to have one. And I just read about it the other day that they're having on Sunday a fundraiser. You can have your dog's photo taken with Santa Claus at Kaufman Lake. Now you're going to have to – I wish I had the time.
Yeah.
Assuming there's no ice storm, of course.
Yeah. Oh, the horrible ice storm that's looming that I didn't know about until
you got here. Yeah. So – okay. Well, we will see you, Carol, in January.
Yes.
Yes.
Have and a Merry Christmas, Celeste.
Merry Christmas to you as well. And Jim, have a great time.
Happy New Year.
With the dogs, with Robin, out sledding. And there we will leave it. I wanted to make one note. Next week on Tuesday, round about 2:40, 2:45, my guest on this program will be Patrick McDonnell.
Yay!
He is the fellow who draws the Mutz strip, and he does a lot of work in animal
I can't read Mutz strips sometimes. It makes me cry.
In conservation and in, what's the word I'm looking for? Humane treatment of animals.
Yeah, very much. That's a theme of many of his strips. I'm so excited because we've auctioned off some of his work too.
We've got a very sweet. His latest book is called Hugs,
Oh. And
it's a very sweet book. And one of the characters from the strip goes out across the globe, hugging all manner of creatures.
Oh dear!
Yes,
I'll make sure to listen.
Patrick McDonnell, Tuesday on the Afternoon Magazine.